So, the idea of imitating, appealing to those in darkness, imitating Christ, and then we come to our text, 1 Corinthians 4 today, and we see it is hard to go through life without a goal. It is hard to go through life without someone to follow. So often it feels like in the Christian life we're playing red light, green light, but we don't know where we're going. That's the point of the game. John went all over the room, but he didn't know where the goal was. That makes it hard to get where we need to be. And so to that, we have our text, 1 Corinthians 4. All right, so you kids, this is one of the blanks in your thing. You got to write down what was the text, 1 Corinthians 4. It's this: be imitators of the right guide with the right goal. Be imitators of the right guide with the right goal. See, kids, here's what you need to understand. You may already know this. Everyone follows somebody. Everybody has a leader. Everybody has a boss, somebody they're looking up to. Everybody follows someone. And so I ask, just kids, think about, who do you follow? Who do you imitate? Grown-ups, who do you imitate? You might imitate your boss. You might imitate your teacher. I know whenever I was a kid, I often looked up to teenagers and older kids. I thought they were cool. You know, oh, they can drive. Oh, they have a phone. See, in the Corinthian church, they were following people, but there were two ways they got it wrong. Number one, they followed the wrong kind of people. They followed people that didn't have their best interests at heart, people who wanted to mess them up. Or they followed people for the wrong reason. So all their following was messed up. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 3, 3 through 4. He says in 1 Corinthians 3, 3, "For you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh, and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" See, kids, the Corinthian church was messed up. Churches can be messed up. They can follow the wrong people. They can follow for the wrong reason. And so 1 Corinthians 4 teaches our lesson today. Be imitators of the right guide with the right goal. So we're going to start actually from the end with the goal, the most important part. Where do we see the goal in 1 Corinthians 4? We find it in verse 20. You kids, listen for what is the goal that Paul has in verse 20 here. It says, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." Kids, do you see it? Grown-ups, do you see it? What is the goal for your life? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Paul isn't the only one who thinks this way. Some of you kids and grown-ups know this prayer. What does Jesus say in Matthew 6? They ask him, how do we pray? What does he say? Matthew 6, 9. He says, pray like this: "Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name." Your what? Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, kids, and maybe grown-ups too, I hope you know this. The point of your life is not to go to church. The point of your life is not to get a good job. The point of your life is not to get good grades. The point of your life isn't even just Christian things like, oh, I'm going to memorize the most Bible verses I can. The point of your life is the kingdom of God. So I got to ask today, in this room or online, do you have the right goal for your life? Is the kingdom of God your goal? Is it where you want to be? Or is it something else? Just look at your schedules. You kids, you grown-ups, think about what's going on this next week. What is the most important thing on your schedule? Is it your job? Is it your basketball practice? Is it your video games? I know some kids in this room that can't wait to get to go play video games. That's right, this one. But the kingdom of God needs to be that priority in our life. And so what is Paul's point back in 1 Corinthians 4? Who the Corinthian church follows needs to have this as their goal. They need leaders that are teaching them, that are guiding them towards the kingdom of God. So kids, what this means for you is you need to, if you don't have them already, you need to find a grown-up. You need to find someone older and wiser that has the goal of teaching you more about God's kingdom, teaching you more how to live under Jesus' authority. And parents, there's a few parents in this room, this means for you, you need to have kingdom of God goals for your kids. You need to say, how am I advancing my children, my family's understanding of Jesus' rule and his reign? And this is tough for parents. We have all sorts of goals. You know, I want my kid to do good at the spelling bee. I want my kid to get better at basketball. Do you want your kids to better understand the kingdom of God? You know, in my household, I'm teaching my kids the Lord's Prayer. I'm teaching them, hey, this is a way to pray. This is a way to read your Bible. Do you have goals regarding the kingdom of God for your family? And then church, do we have kingdom of God for each other? You know, I'll make this real simple. Do you care? If you look at the people in this room, there ain't too many. You can stare at their face. Do you care if they grow at all this year in following, obeying Jesus? Do you have any ownership of their spiritual growth? And we can think back to our ministries. You know, why do we do basketball ministry? Is it just so people can get better at basketball? No, we do it so they can know and follow Jesus. Why do we do food pantry ministry? It's not just for food. They'll tell you that. It's so that the people there might know and follow Jesus. Or kids ministry. Coach, do we do jam on Wednesday just because we love dodgeball? No. So the kids would know. And we have a kingdom of God goal. So we have to have the right goal. The kingdom of God is so important. So just ask. This, I can't answer for. Is the kingdom of God the most important goal in your life? Or has it been replaced by other things? If it's not the goal, then none of the rest of what Paul is saying will make any sense. It's like our kids playing their game. You're trying to win red light, green light, but you don't know where you're going. Is your goal the kingdom of God? But once we figure that out, then we can ask the next question, who is the right guide? And we get the answer in verse 19. Kids, I want you to look at the screen or look at your Bible. Verse 19, it gives us two tests to know who is the right kind of guide. All right, it says, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. You need the right kind of guide. And so I'll just give it to you. What are the two kind of tests that we see here? First, he says they have to have the right power. And then he says, I'm going to come to you. They have to come to you. So let me put those in modern terms. Kids, you need grown-ups, you need people in your life that care about you, that will guide you in two ways. First, they will point you to the power of the gospel. By power, Paul here does not mean people who can do magic or can do miracles. He means gospel power. People that will tell you, hey, the way that God saves you, the way that God gives you life is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's the power of the cross. So you need people that are trying to point you to the gospel. And then second, you need people that will get involved in your life. And this is I did not schedule this ice storm, but this is sort of what we're talking about today. Let me explain in brief. Everyone who is trying to live for Jesus' kingdom, he said, it's the goal of my life. If you're trying to live for Jesus' kingdom, you need people that can do these two things. One, point you to the right power, and two, get involved in your life. And so, Christian, are you doing this for anyone? Have you invited anyone into your life to walk with them spiritually? What is so sad, and again, I didn't schedule the ice storm, I fear more Christians week to week get their Jesus from YouTube preachers than they do from face-to-face preachers. There are many people, even if it's not an ice storm, they say, I'm just going to do it at home. I'm going to tune into my favorite preacher. What's the problem with that? Number one, many of those online preachers aren't pointing you to the right gospel. They're trying to get you to like and subscribe. Number two, and this is true even for the best of them, this is true even if, I mean, maybe you're tuning in here from some other state, some other country you watch, God bless you, but guess what? I can never be a face-to-face preacher for you. I can't be involved in your life like Paul is talking about here. He told the Corinthian church, I'm going to come to you. So, today, if you're watching online, what this means is you need a face-to-face church. If you live someplace else, I would encourage you, go find another local church and be with them. Have a face-to-face pastor. And if you live in Yoakum, you're welcome to come back whenever it's not an ice storm. Come worship with us. We're open every Sunday. So kids, remember these tests. Who should I follow? Who's going to make me better at following Jesus? Someone who has the power of the right gospel, and that someone who is in your life, who can be with you face to face. So we've identified the right goal. We've done the right guide. What is next? What does Paul challenge in verse 16? This is really his big goal for the church. Well, what's his challenge here? Does he want them to get better at baking? Does he want them to be better at basketball? He says, I urge you then be what? Imitators of me. This is how this connects to our big vision 2026. Before the ice storm, I had this big thing planned on imitator culture. We're going to make it real simple today. Kids and grown-ups, who are you following? Who are you following? Who is influencing your life spiritually? Kids, is it your parents? Is it your Sunday school teacher? Is it Pastor Daniel? Is it me? And then the second question, so who are you following? Who's leading you deeper into the kingdom? And then the second question, who's following you? Who are you bringing along? Kids, you may be in this room when you're 8 years old. Guess what? You can have a six-year-old follow you. You can bring up someone younger who knows less about Jesus and say, hey, follow me. Grown-ups, maybe it's your coworker. Maybe it's that young couple in church, these new people you might not know. Here's what I'm getting at. What we're trying to have go away in 2026, this is part of the vision. There are many people that believe, discipleship is only for some Christians. Having people imitate me and me imitating people, that's only for some Christians. Only some Christians have the gift of discipleship. No, that's not true in the Bible, actually. It's for all Christians. To have a healthy following of Jesus, you need to be following someone else who's older, who's wiser, who can help you. And someone needs to be following you, someone that you're investing in. Discipleship is for all Christians. So what does this mean? Some of you older folks, maybe tuning in online, you're scared to drive. What this means is you got to take interest in that younger couple, that younger person. How can you pray for them? How can you encourage them? This idea of imitation and discipleship needs to explain how our church exists. Now, I don't know if you've been here long enough to notice this, but our church is sort of weird. It is very common in today's consumer Christian culture to say, let's put all the young people in their own room, let's put all the teenagers away, and we'll have all the super Christians worship away from the young people. And that's not how we do it. Because if you do that, it gets really hard to do this imitation culture. And there's a negative drawback to it too. Whenever those kids, those teenagers, those young adults grow up, so many of them fall away from church. And why is that? It's because they grew up going to church, not with grown-ups. Church was something they only did with kids their age. It was something they only did with the teenagers that they knew. But I love this church that my kids, that so many of our kids interact with the adults, that we do Family Sunday. They come help and worship. I love that Shirley Sellers, my kids know her by name, and she greets them every Sunday she's here. That we have the generations interacting. We're not a church that hides the kids. We engage them because they're the ones who need to be imitating us. But some of us, I'm worried, think, and it's not a wicked thought, it's just not understanding how things work. We say, well, since my kids are grown, since my kids have gone to college, I'm retired, that I'm no longer mentoring and discipling people. I can't get out and drive whenever it's snowy. I can't disciple a young family. You can still call a young mom and say, hey, how can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? You never retire from this imitation that Paul is talking about here. He encourages the Corinthian church, imitate me, follow me, do what I do. There might be some older saints in this room or tuning in online, you realize, I need to do that. I haven't been in the discipleship game for a long time. So again, what was the lesson? What's the lesson Paul's teaching? Be imitators of the right guide with the right goal. The goal, the kingdom of God. You need guides that are going to point you to the gospel, guides that are going to be in your life that you'll know face to face. And you need to be imitators. You need to be following someone, they need to be following you. Again, what is our vision 2026? Appealing to those in darkness. And then today we're reminded, imitating Christ. So instead of just applying today's sermon, we're going to apply the whole thing in brief, and it's simple to do. It's one question. How will I pursue this vision? Appealing to those in darkness, imitating Christ. How will you make the appeal this year? Is anybody that, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, that you need to open the door? Just open the door to a spiritual conversation. And y'all, this vision is for me too. It convicts me. Philip Washington was just there. I mean, it's a small crowd. I can say we were there. I was there in the room where they were playing all the basketball, and I saw a brother there that I recognized from somewhere. And in the back of my mind, I was like, you know what? You still need to appeal to people too, Pastor. You need to open the door to a spiritual conversation. So I didn't just say, hey, you know, how is it playing basketball? I said, I've seen you around here before. Do you have a church home? Can I invite you to church? And what did he do, Philip? Did he cuss at me and punch me? No. He said, thank you for that. Yeah, I want to know more. Now, it's an ice storm. I don't know what's going on with him today. But the idea, we need to be constantly opening the door, listening to the Spirit's prompting. Hey, have a spiritual conversation here. And then how will I engage the darkness around me? Long story short, are you thinking about the hurting people around you and engaging their needs? We talked about the different kind of veils last week, but don't just look at the world. Don't just look at Yoakum or Shiner as a place where people just have jobs and live and go to the grocery store. There is a spiritual reality. There are lost people around us. There are lost people who don't think they're lost. They think because they're red-blooded American, they have Jesus. No, that's not the gospel. And so we need to be thinking about engaging our darkness. And you may say, I don't know how to be around lost people. I don't know how to be around hurting people. I will encourage you. We already have great mercy ministries at this church. We have the food pantry every Tuesday. You can come pass out Bibles with me any Tuesday. You'll meet a bunch of people that don't know about Jesus. You can connect with the jail ministries. And then also there's the boxing ministry. Those are people that, because of their age and stage in life, they have a lot of suffering there. But it may just be the darkness at your home. You know, praying for that lost family member, engaging with your adult child that's rejected Jesus. But then the last, and today, our lesson is so important. The end goal of our life isn't just that we appeal to people, we engage their darkness, and then we sort of make them feel good. Again, like we said, the end goal isn't just that they get fed. The end goal isn't just that they come through our doors. The end goal is they meet Jesus and start following him with us. The end goal is that people begin imitating Christ with us, that they meet their Savior. It's multiple generations, older and younger, rich and poor. How can I help you follow Jesus more? Do you ask that question of anyone? Make that a goal this year. So how will you pursue this vision? Will you invite your neighbor? Will you pray for that adult child? Will you invite that younger couple to dinner? But I do want to ask one more question. Most important question. Remember that the vision is appealing to those in darkness, imitating Christ. Here's the most important question. Do you have Christ? Do you have Christ? It's sort of like the kids' game at the beginning. The most important thing is the most important thing. The vision, appealing to those in darkness, imitating Christ, does not work if you don't have Christ. Do you know the Jesus that we want to imitate? So I want to make clear. Fulfilling the vision 2026, going and making appeal, engaging darkness and imitating, it won't get you to heaven. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 4:15, I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So in this room, online, I want you to hear plainly the good news today. Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. The kids already told us this earlier in our confession assurance. Jesus came and he lived a perfect life, completely obedient to God's law, did everything that God required of him. And he was crucified. He was murdered at the hands of sinful men, unjustly, but also in our place. His death is meant to take the place of sinners. And the promise that the kids already taught us is he didn't stay dead. He's resurrected on the third day. Not just so he could have life, but so he could give life to all of his people. As Matthew 1:21 says it, so he can save his people from their sins. So in this room or online, this means today, for the very first time, you can repent of your sins and believe in Jesus. You can tell Jesus, hey, Jesus, I heard you die for sins. I want you to die for mine. I heard that you came to give people life. I want you to give me life. You can be saved today. So before we do any of this vision stuff, do you have Jesus? You can ask Jesus today, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. I need you to give me life. I believe in you. And so we're going to close with just a few moments of prayer. Online, you can pray with us. In this time of prayer, you can either pray about two things. One, do you need to get right with Jesus? Do you need to believe in him the first time? And then the other one, just meditate on, I've heard the vision, appealing to those in darkness, imitating Christ. How will I fulfill that in 2026? So with every eye closed and every head bowed, I'll give you all just a minute to talk to Jesus about that, and then I'll close us in prayer. Lord Jesus, your kingdom is the goal. I pray today as we hear this message about imitating, that you stir up the saints, these members of Yoakum, to take a spiritual interest in each other, that they would know each other and love each other and guide each other to follow you. Even if they're not the same age, even if they haven't lived the same life. And Jesus, I do pray that we would continue to make the appeal, that your gospel would go out, that even today, by what is heard in this room and heard online, that some would be saved, that people wouldn't live in the kingdom of sin anymore. Jesus, we ask that you would bring our vision to fruition, that this year we would appeal to those in darkness and imitate Christ. Jesus, we love you.